Welcome to another episode of our Slovak Ancestry podcast. My name is Michal Rázus and this podcast is created with the support of podcast industry. Our today's guest is my friend Maria Silvestri, American from Pittsburgh, president of John and Helen Timo Foundation. Welcome, Maria. How are you doing?
Hi. Thank you so much for inviting me, Michal. I'm happy to be here today.
I'm happy that you accepted the invitation. Well, before we are going to start speaking about your interesting foundation, I would like to learn a little bit more about you, about your ethnic and national background. If you can tell a little bit more about it.
Sure, I'd be happy to. Well, let me get the easy part out of the way. My dad was of Italian descent, so my surname is Italian. That will erase one really big question straight off the bat. But when people ask me what my village is, my answer is Pittsburgh. My grandparents were born in a small town on the Monongahela River, just south of Pittsburgh. It's former industrial town in a valley full of former industrial towns. And so their early life and my mom's life was really formed by living in a compact settlement with other Carpatha Rusyns and other immigrant groups in a small industrial town. And at the time, that was a place where, among many other places, they were building American industry. And that's a big part of my heritage, I would say.
People know you as a very vital and charismatic promoter and ambassador of Rusyn identity and culture. And I would like to ask, why is this part of your heritage so much attractive to you? Why it's not just American or Italian, but why is Rusyn so close to you and to your heart?
It's a really good question. I think the easiest way for me to answer this is that those of us who are active in this community know how special it is and how unique it is. Everybody, even if I started telling you, to use this example, even if I started telling you the regions of Italy where my grandparents are from on my dad's side, you've heard of those places probably. Most people haven't heard of Carpatha Rusyns. They couldn't point to Northeast Slovakia on a map if they tried. And so it's really wonderful to be involved in a community that is so focused on something that really so few people, including people of Carpatha Rusyn descent themselves, barely know about. It's cool because it's so niche and so unique and so out of the way. And we know because of the research that we've done that, you know, Carpatha Rusyns have been major contributors to world culture. And so we're a little group that's in the middle of Europe, and yet who knows about us? And I think that's very attractive.
For me, when I first started to learn about the Rusyns, however, I'm not a Rusyn myself, but for me, it was like getting a magical key from the secret garden. And I was just kind of, you know, and because I know Rusyns, some of them are my friends, good friends. I know how temperament they are. And I was wanted to learn more about the culture and about their religion and about everything. And I'm proud that Slovakia is also the home of many Rusyns. I can understand this kind of passion that you have, especially if you are a Rusyn yourself.
Yeah, I would say this about that. I have spent a lot of time in Slovakia. I had to spend time in Slovakia among Slovaks to learn a lot about who I am as a Carpatha Rusyn, right? Because as you just kind of said, these are two very different groups. And so I really love and enjoy a lot of Slovak culture as well, but this is a place, and unfortunately, so few people know about, you know, really much about Slovakia and Slovak culture too. And so we're always excited when we get to share these things with other people. I think something else that I really like about it is that it's a way of sharing something that's really different about us. It's a way to engage with people in a way that's sort of different. And maybe you've experienced this with your Rusyn friends. You know, certainly I have experienced this with my non-Rusyn friends. And I think it's cool. When we let ourselves be vulnerable enough to share who we are, I think we get to know each other better and maybe understand each other as humans more.
Absolutely. I totally agree. We share the same point of view. I believe that, you know, it's great that we can be proud on our own identity, but at the same time, we can absolutely appreciate the different people from the different cultures, different habits and traditions. This is the way how it should be. And I think it's really great that we feel it the same way.
Yeah, definitely.
But
I wish more people agreed with us, Miho.
Hopefully, maybe after listening to this podcast, we will
see.
Yeah,
let's hope so.
And so maybe we can make one step back, because probably not every listeners of our podcast will understand completely who are the Rusins. And I know this, we can make the whole podcast just for this question, but maybe if we can very briefly try to define who are the Rusins and where do they live, why they are special, how can we describe them?
Okay. For me, this is the easy part. Carpatho Rusins are an ethnic and linguistic minority who whose traditional homeland is in what is today southeastern Poland, northeastern Slovakia, southwest Ukraine, parts of northern Hungary and northern Romania. And then there's large diaspora groups in what's now Serbia and Croatia in the Bačka and Vojvodina regions, and then, of course, in North America. So Carpatho Rusins live in these countries that I've mentioned, and they might be citizens of these countries. They are citizens of these countries that I mentioned, but they're not part of that nationality. So, for example, my relatives are from Svidnik, which is in Slovakia, but they are Slovak citizens, but they are ethnically Rusin.
What about the language, maybe, or a religion?
Yeah, so that too. These are other, you know, of course, these kind of markers of culture can also be the way people dress, what they eat, song and dance, and also, most importantly, and maybe in some ways most obviously, Carpatho Rusins do have a language that is, it's a very interesting language, actually, because it's sort of very between East and Western Slavic languages. So in most cases, it's very mutually intelligible with other languages. And of course, now the way that Rusyn is spoken in Slovakia, for example, there's a lot of loan words from Slovak, or, you know, the way Rusyn is spoken in Poland, there would be a lot of loan words from Polish, but it is a different language. And it's written in the Cyrillic alphabet. And actually, you're in Prešov right now, and the Prešov University is one of the only places in the world where you can study the Rusyn language. So this is a really big deal. And it's a way of, I think, getting inside the culture in a very particular way, because it deals with the way that Rusyns express themselves. And then, of course, also many, but not all, Carpatho Rusyns are Eastern Christian. So this, in this case, that might mean that they're Greek Catholic or Orthodox. And that's very different than many of our neighbors who are mostly Roman Catholic, or maybe in the case of some places in Slovakia, Lutheran. But of course, we're living in 2021. There are many Carpatho Rusins who continue to practice Eastern Christianity under whatever jurisdiction they belong to. But there's also many who practice any other religion or not, and that's their choice. So traditionally Eastern Christian, but now it could be anything.
Now maybe we can focus a little bit about your work. I know that you are the president of the John and Helen Timo Foundation. Maybe not everybody knows what this foundation is or is doing. Can you describe it briefly, maybe?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. The John and Helen Timo Foundation is philanthropy that's focused on supporting Carpatho Rusyn cultural development, and we also sometimes focus on where that intersects with Eastern Christianity. So a lot of what we do is to support educational efforts in the Carpatho Rusyn world. We've produced 3 full-length documentaries about 20th century Carpatho Rusyn history, including the most recent one, which was released about 2 years ago, called Voskresenie Naroda, The Resurrection of a Nation, which is about Carpatho Rusyns in the post 1989 world that we live in. We've also started, this is the second year, we've done a summer seminar series online where we're working with the Carpatho Rusyn Research Center to present some of the best new research in Carpatho Rusyn studies. We do a lot of work to support the Studium Carpatho Rusynorum, which happens every summer when there's not a raging global pandemic at the University of Prešov, and many other things behind the scenes to try to help people that are working on promoting and sharing and supporting Carpatho Rusyn culture.
I'm interested when you mentioned the name of the movie resurrection of the nation. Rusins went in 20th century through very many challenges and hard times, like it was a destruction of the Greek Catholic Church in 1950s, or before the emigration of thousands of people to Ukraine from the Rusyn nation. So now 20th and 21st century is bringing the new challenges, because maybe there are the institutions that are helping to keep the Rusyn traditions and identity, like museum in Prešov or school, as you mentioned, universities and even the maybe high schools in Prešov. But still, I think the Rusyns are facing the big challenge of maybe assimilation because of the influence of the majority culture in Slovakia. How do you see this topic or this question?
I would ask the same to any Slovak person. Slovakia is an extremely small country within Europe. And so even though in some ways Slovakia can enjoy being a, let's say, quote unquote, majority culture within Slovakia, look at how many people from Slovakia have to go abroad to work. And there, I can think of many examples of people who have moved to, for example, England and Ireland, and then marry somebody from there and come back and the kids can't even speak to their grandparents. You know, I think this is a problem for a lot of people now, not only Rusyns. And so the best I think we can do is to be creative about the ways that we work to maintain culture. And this is really hard work because we have to decide what we think is most important so that we can prioritize that. You know, a lot of people think that language is the most important thing to work on. That's one area that does need some support. But also, yeah, we have a lot of work to do just in helping people to understand who they are and also convincing them that it's something important in the first place, right? You know, if your priority is eating and having a roof over your head, then like, why bother with, I don't know, what you do on Christmas Eve as a tradition, right? I mean, these are really big questions that I don't think only Rusyns are facing today.
I think it's very interesting and good opinion. And in my eyes, the problem of identity is sometimes maybe better perceived in the country of diaspora where our people are living, because sometimes those that are living abroad, they can see us from the bigger perspective and they can maybe sometimes appreciate it more than sometimes we do by ourselves. And you are a beautiful example of it, actually. So I think that's right, because that was your grandparents that emigrated from Slovakia?
My grandparents were both born in a small town outside of Pittsburgh. And so their parents were the immigrants. They came, my great grandparents came to the United States around 1900. And my grandparents were both born in the United States, but they both grew up speaking Rusyn at home. And so they were functionally bilingual their whole lives. I mean, you couldn't tell that they weren't native English speakers, but they also never, and this is quite unusual, they never stopped speaking and writing in Rusyn with each other, with their relatives, not with me, unfortunately. we spoke English. But this connection to the European homeland and to the Rusyn language was really maintained by my grandparents. And I think that also made a big difference in my life and activism as well.
Sometimes who we are is not just by geography, but I think it's more in our heart and maybe in our genes. So it doesn't really matter where do we live. And I have a very strong memory on it when we were a couple years ago in Pittsburgh on a genealogy conference. Mm-hmm. And I saw there the folk group Slaviane with Dean Poloka.
Yeah.
And that was something very touching for me, because I could see people from 5 years old children to 70 years old ladies who were singing and dancing very passionately, in spite they probably have not been in Slovakia, at least some of them. But I could see that they were very much involved and connected, you know, to our folklore, and they don't have to do it, but they want to do it. And this was something very beautiful, that even people that are living thousands of miles from their original home, they still feel some kind of connection. So this was absolutely amazing for me.
Yeah, I was in Slaviane myself which was another big way that I got very involved in the Carpathian Rusyn community from a very young age. And one of my earliest memories was that we were invited in 1992 to Medzilaborce because the Andy Warhol Museum was opening and they were able to get some grant money from the Warhol Foundation to bring us to from Pittsburgh to Medzilaborce. And so this was my first experience at all of Slovakia, was not going to Bratislava or even Košice or even Prešov. It was to the end of the earth in Medzilaborce. And there, people had the same reaction as you just did, right? Which is like, kind of like, whoa, like these Americans are doing this. And so what does that say about us? You know, what does that mean about us? And about our culture. And I think that sharing folk song and dance is another really wonderful way that brings people together and also is a place where we can find things that we have in common and also to find what makes us a little bit different. This is one of the things that I love the most about Northeast Slovakia at all, whether it's whether we're talking about Rusyn culture or Shadish Slovak culture, that this sharing of the folk culture and the ways that they influence each other is one of the best things about that whole area, I think. Nobody's angry about it, but they're all excited about seeing and hearing what everybody else is doing. And I think that's something really special.
This is something that sometimes the strength of the nation is not defined by its quantity, but especially by the quality. And we can be naming now the people from the culture, from politics, from Jan Pilip, who is now the head of the Slovak, for the Slovaks living abroad office, to Stefan Stets, who is a great folklore dancer and performer and artist and many, many others. So definitely, and especially then another very important moment that defines and it's helping to understand who the Rusyns are and Rusyn souls, I think it's the nature, the beautiful, peaceful villages in Carpathian Mountains. This is something that you have to just experience by your own skin, own eyes, because we can speak about it here, but the best thing is just to come and to experience it live, I guess.
Absolutely. I think a lot of people ask me like why I do what I do, and kind of unusually, my relatives in Slovakia are still farmers. They have a lot of livestock. And this is something that I know that my relatives and many other people's relatives have been doing in those exact same hills for the last 1,000 years. And so that's something that's really special. And it's, yes, very beautiful, but it also sort of speaks to the work ethic of these people, whether they're in the Carpathian Mountains or the Appalachian Mountains around Pittsburgh, where I grew up, right? I can't encourage people enough to go experience this for themselves. I think it's critically important to be where your family came from, wherever that is. You know, I've gone to the places in Italy where my grandparents were born there, and it's just as special to me as being in the places where my great-grandparents came from in the Carpathian Mountains. And I think it answers a lot of questions very quickly about who we are and about maybe why our families are the way they are. And you can't really express that in words.
Do you have some other special moments connected to your awareness of your identity, maybe while you were in Slovakia, or are there any other things that kind of opened your eyes or kind of were something in some way special to you? You kind of were aware that you are a Rusyn and that you are proud of it.
Well, I have two ways that I would answer this. The first is that about over 10 years ago now, I spent a school year teaching English in Ružomberok, which is in the middle of Slovakia, far from where Carpathian Rusyns live. And I happened to also, at that time, stay in a convent. And so there, I learned a lot about Slovaks and Slovakia because I was in the middle of it, right? And this was very different than what I had known because even though I had been to Slovakia many times and spent a lot of time in Eastern Slovakia, this is something very different. And I learned real Slovak in, you know, speaking to these people, which was remained very useful in my life. But also it was a time when I did learn in some ways how different we were. The mentality was a little bit different. If something on the news from a Rusyn village was on the national news, they would kind of come and get me and be like, look, Maria, like these are your people. This isn't us, you know? And it was sort of joking and sort of not. And also at that time, there were about 30 sisters living in this convent and months of living there. And only then some of them would be like, you know, I'm from near Snina and my dad was Orthodox and my dad was Rusyn. And, you know, it took them a really long, some the few that were had a little bit of Rusyn background, it took some of them a really long time to share that with me. And that was an important learning moment because it highlighted in many ways the similarities and differences between these two groups that are in a very small country. The other way that I would answer this is that, like you, sometimes I am asked to take people to their villages and interpret. And for me, this is always such a treat because I end up learning so much from knocking on somebody's door or, you know, standing at their gate and then being, you know, kind of being invited into their homes with their American relatives. The last time I did that, you kind of mentioned this before, I happened into a family where the woman's parents were optanti. And she told me about when she came back to their Rusyn village in the 60s, right before she started school. And it was really hard for her because they only spoke Rusyn in their family. And the whole summer, they, you know, they had returned from Volhynia, and it was really difficult for them because they felt ashamed that they weren't successful there and that they were coming back to their village in Slovakia. And she also had to spend the whole summer learning Slovak so that she could go to school, because at that time there was also this forced Ukrainization of Rusyns in Slovakia, or they could be Slovak, right, at that time. And so that village opted to be Slovak, and she didn't speak Slovak before she went to school. And it was really, really difficult for her. And so, you know, that was something, I don't know those people, that's not my relatives, right? But I learned so much from them by having that experience of being welcomed into their home and also sharing their family stories between their American relatives and them. And so I always find that to be very, very special because those are ways also where we learn that we have much more in common than we think.
I have a very similar story, and it was just very fresh. A couple of days ago, I had here the gentleman from Washington State. His name was Mr. Fedor, and obviously that's the Rusyn surname. He was a Greek Catholic from the Zemplin region. And he didn't know about the Rusyns at all, so I was kind of trying to explain him, and he was then asking his relatives, which we found. We were lucky to meet the most wonderful people. And he was kind of trying to learn more, you know, about his new identity, about this new experience. So it's great that we can learn about our culture, about our history, and about our roots. And I think this is the way it should be.
But I think also, Michal, it says a lot about you and how confident you are about yourself as a Slovak person, that you can also share with people and teach these people that you work with about who they are too. Because the very easy way to do all of this for any of us would be to say, well, we're in Slovakia, everybody here is Slovak, and like, end of story. Right. and that's easy. Right. And in the same way that in the Rusyn community, you know, lots of people, lots of Americans, you and I both know a lot of them who come to visit their relatives in their villages, and they don't really distinguish between what is Rusyn and what is Slovak. And so then you have all these Rusyns in America who are like really, I don't know, wearing like some Slovakia t-shirt, like because they're being a tourist there. Mm-hmm. And in some ways that's okay, because like, why not? You've gone to be a tourist in Slovakia. But on the other hand, that can be equated with being Slovak in a way that we are not. And so I think that we have to have a bit of confidence about who we are. And that's a long process for some of us. But the more confident we are, I think the better we're able to share that. And that's super important. So thank you for teaching somebody else about their Rusyn heritage. It's so important. And we need lots more people like you.
Thank you. In my eyes, it's like meadow with the flowers. We can have all the flowers the same roses, but we can mm-hmm. have also the all kinds of beautiful flowers with different colors, different shapes. And this is what makes mm-hmm. our country more rich and beautiful and tolerant. So I think this is
absolutely
the way it should be, and we should respect and learn about other people living in not just Slovakia, but all around the world.
Thank you so much. Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway, I also wanted to ask about the last event that you attended, and mm-hmm. that sounds pretty interesting. Was it the World Congress of Rusyns? Call it properly? Where was it and what was it about?
The World Congress of Rusyns is an event that happens every 2 years, and Carpathia Rusyns and the leadership of organizations from all of the countries where Carpathia Rusyns live meet and have a 2-day conference. In some ways, it's a pretty formal event in Central European style, where, you know, there's kind of it's pretty formal. There's program of events. And then in other ways, it's a very informal event where people are really just happy to see each other. There's a lot of networking that happens. People are finding out what they're doing in different places. And, you know, after the last year and a half, when most of us have been staying pretty close to home and, you know, really the internet is our only connection to the outside world, it was great this year to get together. It was especially great this year to get together in person and see people that we know from many different places. So this year it was in Krynica, Poland, which is very close to the border with Slovakia. It's a very beautiful spa town. Like Bardejov is a spa town, but this is a bit bigger and a bit different. You know, we saw lots of our friends from Prešov and from places in Poland and from Croatia, from friends of mine that I haven't seen in almost 2 years from North America as well. And this is an important way for the Carpathia Rusyn community to gain some strength and momentum and to feel supported by people who are sharing the same types of activities in different countries where Carpathia Rusyns live. But also, it's an important way to get things done and to work towards greater cooperation, which we need within our community as much as we need it from outside of our community as well.
So you got some inspiration and you are ready to hold the Rusyn flag and walk towards the rising sun, right?
Absolutely, yes. Absolutely.
Great. And so to change it, what are your plans or activities that you are looking forward to? What are you going to prepare maybe?
Actually, right now, I'm working on editing a book that is about the history of Lemko Rusyn literature. So the Lemkos are the Carpathia Rusyns who live in what's today southeast Poland. This is a historical region, so the northern slopes of the Carpathians. And this is a region that traditionally had very, very close contacts also with Rusyns on the southern slopes of the Carpathian Mountains. So it's been a nice surprise, for example, reading about students in 19th century Prešov and things like this, right? Places that I know about very well from my own life, I'm reading about in a historical context for the first time, and we're really looking forward to sharing that for the first time with an Anglophone audience. Also, you know, we're always sort of looking for what's next. I think what we can do to support what other people are doing. I think you will be presenting at the CGSI conference. And so one of the things that we're doing is we're a sponsor of that. And we're always really happy to see what CGSI is doing because they help so many people to find out more about who they are, whether they're Czech or Slovak or Carpathian-Rusyn. So lots of different things, but all with the same goal, which is to help spread the word about Carpathian-Rusyns as a very vibrant and living culture.
Well, it's great that Rusyn tree is having the deep and solid roots. And also thanks to people like you, it's also having the beautiful green crown with many new leaves, and it doesn't have only the great past, but I'm sure it also has a great future. And I would like to thank you for coming to our today's podcast, and I wish you all the best and good luck in all your activities.
Thank you, and I thank you for everything that you do as well, Mikhail. It's also very, very important, and we can't do what we do without people like you too. Thank you.
Thank you and goodbye. That was all for today, and I am looking forward to you next week. You were listening to Slovak Ancestry Podcast with Michal Rázus, created with the support of Podcast Industry. You can find us at Spotify, Google Podcast, and Apple Podcast. If you have an interesting family story and you would like to share it, feel free to contact me via email in the description.